Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. I'm still basking in the limelight, everybody. And all my listeners, you all know I was inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame on Sunday night. It was a whole weekend affair. It was a tremendous honor. Back to the Jack LaLanne days and some of these greats in all aspects of fitness and wellness, Bob Guida, my sports medicine mentor. So it's a very exciting time. And I want everybody to know that when I picked up the microphone after they introduced me, I said, live from Chicago, it's a sports doctor. Anyway, we got a great doubleheader today. Sally Sampson, who is the founder and president of the popular Chop Shop magazine, as well as others, inspiring and teaching families and kids to cook and eat real food together. She returns, I think, for the third time. And then Kathy Feinstein, who I was just on her podcast a month or so ago. She's a mental health counselor. She's a certified sports performance consultant. And she's the host of her podcast, Parenting Peak Performers. Then it's the Sports Doctors Inn. Your emails and some upcoming. But first, Sally Sampson, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Yes, give us a capsule of you and Chop Chop Magazine and the whole concept of when I was first introduced with you of the importance, because you're a cook and a cookbook writer, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
And that's probably got you involved. So give us some background on you and Chop Chop.
Well, so my background is as a cookbook writer. And about 10 years ago, I had the idea, well, I wanted to use my skills in a more meaningful way than just continuing to write more cookbooks. And I thought that if I could get doctors to prescribe cooking to children during well child visits, we could really make a dent in obesity. And so what we did. We launched this magazine called Chop Chop.
Yeah, we're still trying.
We're still trying to get
medicine.
But so the original idea was to get doctors to prescribe the magazine. But then when we launched, sort of everybody came out and said, well, we want to distribute it also. So we are in schools, after schools, Indian reservations, community health centers, dentists, doctor's offices, WIC programs, SNAP programs, basically food banks, wherever you find children. So the magazine is distributed all over the United States in both English and in Spanish. It's 40 pages. It's gorgeous. And we have a really talented photographer and designer. And it's mostly recipes, but it's also just, there are a lot of games and there are things for kids to do and there are fun facts. And so that's our main magazine. And then we launched another magazine called Sprout. And that one is for WIC recipients, because if you're on WIC, you have a very specified list of foods that they give you. So we just use those foods.
And what's the term, WIC?
Women, Infants, and Children. It's a government program that gives food packages or to really the parents of children under five who are very low income.
Yes.
And then more
wonderful.
Recently, it's a great program, and it's fun to actually to write for such a defined diet. I actually enjoy that. And then we launched another magazine 2 years ago called Seasoned, and that's for older adults. So it's basically Chop Chop for grandparents.
Right. It's like my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which I had to put an asterisk in, which was the Hashtag Hey Sports Parents and Sports Grandparents.
Exactly.
I have been talking about childhood obesity for 20 years, give or take a few weeks. I was thrilled when I was introduced to you and what you were doing. The whole idea of the parents being involved. We all know that the huge answer for this, and the problem, of course, is we're no better off than when we started all those years ago in reality. With all of this awareness and all of this information, a few weeks ago I had on Ann Marchetti, Sally. You might know her.
Oh, I know her very well.
Yes, Ann and I.
She's a good friend.
Yes, I'm hoping they'll become a sponsor of the Sports Doctor, maybe you too. But I've known her for the whole 10 years at DuPage, Forward DuPage, another great community-based. And, you know, I had both you guys with Pull Your Own Weight. I was talking to you guys about Pull Your Own Weight 100 years ago. So the importance of the combination of movement and exercise and activity for children, to say the least, understanding the importance of their parents being involved, and the schools, the fact that the schools really are the gigantic vehicle. But I am glad that you decided to include the grandparents.
Well, thank you.
You know, I can't believe you've had two more magazines since initially. I remember initially so many of my pediatrician colleagues in some way, shape, or form carried your magazine because they really were catching on to your your first three sentences you said today, which was the importance of doctors, especially to include something as simple dash important as the idea of eating well.
Exactly.
Right, and you would get the kids involved. Now, I remember. You on the front cover of your magazine, because I think you were on the radio around then, you had the First Lady, Michelle Obama. Didn't you guys go there?
We did.
Fantastic. How quickly we forget.
Let's not go there.
Oh, we're not going to go there. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you zip over to radio shows, you can go back 10 years, and you could see the incredible guests from all over the world on so many topics, different, areas, in all areas of fitness and high performance, whether it's nutrition, again, whether it's geriatrics. If you go over to newspaper articles, you could read on everything from my latest guest editorial in Lower Extremity Review, which is all about the team approach to sports medicine, to lots of articles on my main passion, which is the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports. And you can read one of my most popular, infamous articles, which is called Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We're talking to Sally Sampson, the creator of Chop Chop Magazine. Now, also, did you say Sprout?
Sprout and Seasoned.
Oh, Sprout. Chris, I tell you, you got three terrific names involved. What's the best website for people to find out about all of it?
ChopChopFamily.org.
Okay, ChopChopFamily.org. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say both Seasoned and Chop Chop are available by subscription.
Okay. And somebody's got to pay for something, you know, with all of these different things. And, you know, again, you mentioned the colorful magazine. It's fantastic. You know, you've always had this great photography. Now that you have three magazines, I have to write an article for you, The Sports Doctor's In or something, where we would have the importance of, again, my book is about the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, physically and mentally, the pressures on these young boys and girls, and we want them to be very, very active. Somehow we got tripping over the fact that we would think you need to be competitive. And, you know, we've been arguing, you're on the same team, we've been arguing with the world of the school systems to never, ever omit PE from schools. It's a real challenge,
right?
Isn't it?
Yep.
So how has the medical profession embraced, I would think warmly, although I'm saying it with a wink, how has the medical community embraced everything that you're doing, starting with Chop Chop?
Well, I think it's quite a warm embrace. Chop Chop is endorsed by the American Academy of Pediatrics. We're in about 30% of all pediatricians' offices. We're doing a project now with the CDC. I think that when I started 10 years ago, the idea of kids cooking was weird. And
yes.
I think the idea of kids cooking as an antidote to obesity was weird. And now it's very mainstream. You know, there are cooking classes all over the place. Everybody's talking about eating well and how
important
it is for
mentally.
Kids to cook.
It's also a big deal mentally. You always talked about that. Again, half my show is the mental game, whether
right.
we're talking about the best athletes in the country or their grandmothers. And
right.
a tremendous challenge today times 100 with screen time and inactivity with the kids, and the fact that childhood obesity, you know, talking about Lower Extremity Magazine, Sally, just last month on the front cover was this challenge of children and diabetes. You know, 25 years ago, the name was adult onset diabetes.
Right. Right.
Now we've got it smack in our face in so many different areas. But the mental fun side of the young children participating, I think, is something that everybody gets it, but I don't know if we pay enough attention to that. You have.
Right, right. I mean, you know, I would argue that we haven't made as big a dent in obesity because cooking is not a big enough part of the conversation. We talk
True.
About almost everything else. And so I think to the degree that cooking becomes more mainstream and more accepted as a solution, I think we'll start to see more movement.
It's an educational challenge. You know, there's time constraints. Everybody's in a hurry. Hold on, let me get a sandwich. And,
right.
You know, you who have cooked and written about it, and really such a big part of your life and your culture, becomes a really a big challenge. So the method that I always got from Chop Chop, really, I'll give you a new byline. Again, you know, that participation word is such
right.
a, whether we want these kids to, you know, when I wrote that article in 2008 called Let's Get Them Walking, which was to get these schools to include a half hour of walking, and on the other side you were arguing, let's get the schools include some cooking classes
right.
in order so that these kids could grow up. When I, you know, growing up, you know, cooking was for moms.
Right.
That's who
right.
basically was doing it, you know, and so that, I think, change in attitude becomes a very, very big challenge. My second guest, you know, we're going to talk about the idea of nutrition. The idea of fueling when you've got a young
right.
boy or girl who might be a serious or a high achiever. But I think that 30% of pediatricians' offices, wow. I'm on board with you to triple that percentage over the next who knows how long. That I think, would be such a big part of the area where they – after they walk by looking at the magazine for the 15th time, they say, you know, I'm going to talk about this to the family of this seven-year-old. And I think it's an educational challenge. But we need the schools because they have 100 million kids, whatever it is. And the idea, like, again, we talked about Ann Marchetti. And the great Forward DuPage, there's so much participation. Let's have a walk week. Let's do this. Let's try to do that. That's all wonderful. But if you do not change with the 100 million kids, then we'll be in the same
exactly.
challenge X amount of years from now. And the reality is it's going to break us. Financially, we can't afford it. We can't afford to deal with children growing up with obesity-related high blood pressure and all of this stuff. It costs like five times as much to deal with a child, let alone the psychological hell, pardon my French, of the overweight. You know, we had a guest on, you might know, Mike Buchanan was the author and the screenwriter, Sally, of the book and movie 7, 8, 10 years ago, Fat Boy Chronicles. You still could get it. And when he told us that over 50% of bullying was obesity related, I was like half floored by it until I really thought about it. This other, you know, a tremendously important area of the overweight children and, you know, what they're dealing with. How do you see, are parents jumping on, are you optimistic, really, that the parents are getting the message?
I think so. I mean, you know, what we always say to parents is teach your kids to cook and soon they'll be making you dinner. And, you know, they like that idea. But also cooking teaches financial literacy. It teaches math. It teaches science. It teaches understanding of other cultures. So there's much more to it. And I think that as parents see that, they appreciate, you know, that it is sort of so multidimensional.
Truly.
We also do
curriculum, you know, financially. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah, so I mean,
point.
I think,
you know,
parents.
These bullets.
So, I'm sorry, say it again.
Well, you mentioned these interesting areas, of course, whether it's the financial side of children learning about shopping or
right.
it is the other cultures. You know, you mentioned these things that, wow, it's a multi-faceted thing that sometimes, you know, is news to people.
Right, right. Also, if you cook with somebody, you're just bonding. I mean, it's a great way to spend time with your kids. And there's a lot of things like that that really make an impact.
So you're approaching now, it's funny, like I had on from England a month or so ago, his organization's called Working with Parents in Sports. Terrific global group. But the idea of your new magazine, Seasoned, as coming from the other side of the importance of something like this, that makes an awful lot of sense. What are some of the things that you like to stress in that magazine?
Well, so in that magazine, there's a lot of focus on cooking for one or cooking for two, for one thing. There's also, if you're going to make a bigger meal, share it with the people around you, so to address isolation.
Great bullet.
I mean, season...
You know, Sally, I can't believe it. The time flew by with you. Before we run out of time, give me the website for people to find out about all your fabulous stuff.
ChopChopFamily.org.
ChopChopFamily.org. Sally Sampson, a superstar. Sally, hold on quickly. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, An Essential Guide for Any Parent with a Child in Sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and I'm excited about Kathy Feinstein joining me. Kathy is a licensed mental health counselor. She's a certified mental performance consultant in private practice in Naples, Florida. She works with sports parents. Hey, the book, hashtag hey sports parents, coaches athletes of all ages and levels in a variety of sports in the area of optimal performance. She hosts a weekly podcast. It's my pleasure to join her on that podcast, Parenting Peak Performers. And the mission is to help sports parents manage all the challenges we've been talking about, I don't know, 20 years, give or take a little bit. Kathy Feinstein, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, this is, by the way, May is Mental Health Month.
Yes, it is.
So I'm excited you're on. We started right off May 1st, Mental Health Month. It's such a big deal, again, whether you are the parent of a young athlete, whether it's you yourself trying to deal with whatever your goals, weight loss, feeling better, whether you're the parents driving yourself crazy in that regard, the athlete coming back from injury. Give us a little bit of background, Kathy, on you and what you do.
Okay. So, Dr. Bob, I have been in counseling since 1998. And probably in 2006, both my daughters were at the height of their competitive athletic careers, and both were experiencing performance anxiety. And as any
what were their sports?
My older daughter was an equestrian. She was a dressage rider. So we had 2 athletes, the horse and the rider. And then my younger daughter played basketball. And They both experienced performance anxiety. And so as any good sport parent would do, I went out to try to get them some help, and I couldn't find anybody. The closest person that I could get that had any specialty in sports psych was in Orlando. And I thought, you know what? This was, you know, something that I would really like to know more about and that probably more people could benefit from. So I went back to school and studied sports psychology and became certified through the Association for Applied Sports Psychology and never looked back. I absolutely love what I do. And over the course of the years, actually, I always knew that my counseling career, my counseling experience would influence the work I did with athletes, but I had no idea how much my sports psych
big
work
time.
Would influence
right.
the work I do
oh, yeah.
with
big
my general
time.
Counseling clients. Yeah.
Yeah, big time marriage. For all these years of the sports doctor, we've made a very, very big deal about what I've always called the mental game. Again, whether you were the best athlete in the country or you were dealing with recovering from an injury or whatever the side of that might very, very well be, and the challenges of the $15 billion a year youth sports injury. That was the front cover of Time magazine a couple of years ago. There was a little leaguer on the cover, great-looking mm-hmm. kid. Caption was the $15 billion a year youth sports injury world. And that's many times what we're dealing with, whether there's so much pressure from so many angles, Mom, you know, that the performance mm-hmm. anxiety, which is, you know, a big part of in so many areas, or it's, you know, one other area in that regard. You know, we would see over the years that by the time a young boy or girl is 13, 14 years old, two-thirds of them have quit youth sports because it's a job or it's a hassle or it's of some type of conflict. And my late colleague, Dr. Jim Vickery, was a famous sports psychologist. Gosh, back in the 90s, he shared the radio with me. He didn't even use the word psychology back then because he felt it scared people. He was a performance enhancement consultant. Mm-hmm. But the term performance enhancement or high performance has become a very, very big deal. And again, with the mental side of it, you know, what kind of ages in sports, Kathy, do you deal with?
You know what, primarily the folks that I deal with are high school kids that want to play at the college level. I do some work with minor league baseball and hockey and golfers that are playing that are trying to make it into the PGA Tour. But primarily it's the high school kids that want to play at the college level. And
they all have parents.
They all have parents.
Right. They all have coaches.
Yes.
And, you know, the big area in hashtag A Sports Parents, one of my most aggressive chapters is called Youth Sports and Drugs. You know, don't you understand, Dr. Wild, the kid's got to play next week. His ankle's hurt. We're taking Advil. And the idea that we're deluged with commercials for drugs and pills. So the concerns many times as the pressures rise, high school is already a big deal. Scholarship is, again, big type of pressure. But before I forget, Kathy, you know, I used to put orthotics in a couple of very famous equestrian boots.
Really?
And people would say, come on, man, they're riding a horse. What are you talking about? I said, think about the knee position when you're in that kind of position on a horse. And their stability. And then, but I had to mention that to you when you mentioned your daughter was an equestrian. How's your relationship with the again coaches and parents, and the when you're dealing with these kinds of challenges and pressures? How's the cooperation?
You know what? The cooperation is generally very good. And I have a real special place in my heart for sport parents, having been one and been, you know, a little bit, gotten a little bit waylaid myself. So I have a lot of compassion for sport parents. I think we are all very well-intended and just get caught up sometimes. And so lately what I've been really doing is I've been talking to my parents, you know, when a new athlete comes in, I've been really talking to the parents first and asking that, you know, really encouraging them to get self-reflective, because I think that there's so much value in that. You know, parents asking themselves, what's my attitude, you know, towards achievement? What's my attitude towards failure? Because I think the fear of failure is so much of what leads to performance anxiety. And so when parents can really take a look and make adjustments, you know, because a lot of times, you know, if we went out and asked 10 people, you know, what's your view of failure? And they say, oh, failure is great for a learning opportunity. But is your, you know, is your behavior matching up, you know, with that? And I think a lot of times it's just really, it's really useful to keep those two things in check, you know, what we're thinking and what we're actually doing.
You know, it's a big area. I've had a previous guest, Natalie Graves, in the Chicago area, is a counselor strictly dealing with the high school athletes and up on the mental health side.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first had her on, people can listen if they go to sportsdoctorradio.com radio shows. Anyway, the whole topic of the mental health of adolescent or of athletes was her whole topic. And again, coming from the licensed counselor world or your mental health world, when we talk about the kinds of challenges physically and mentally, you're talking, you know, the elite of the elite, when you're even going for a scholarship, number one, you're serious. And number two, the pressure's on. And I would always ask my guests who deal in these areas, Kathy, you know, how's your sports psychology skills? But how could I ask you that? You're a sports psychologist. Right? Right? So you got the answers. You know, and what's your website, Kathy? People will find out about your podcast.
Yes, my website is KAF, counselingandsportperformance.com. And there's a page on there, excuse me, with my for my podcast. My podcast, you can also find it on all the popular platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, you know, Spotify. It's on all of the popular.
Yes, that's I did with you what I've done in the past very, very often, which is, hey, let's trade radio shows.
Yeah.
When I find somebody that is really involved in one of these very, very important topics. Again, one of the reasons I wrote the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with my co-author, Sharky Zartman, who's a Hall of Fame volleyball player, and both her kids were Division I athletes, was these kinds of demands, both physically as well as mentally. Mentally is really, 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 really caught up. But I remember my great friend, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, one of his main bullets for sports parents was, don't be a critic. You know, that's what Jim said all those years ago in that regard. I'm going to ask you more about that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. Go over to radio shows. You can go back years, but you could check the topics and the different guests, see what you might want to listen to, newspaper articles. You could read on an endless array of topics. We have a huge following on Twitter. We produce lots of good information. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. I also get a lot of great guests from LinkedIn. I think Kathy was one of them. So you could check out sportsdoctorradio.com. Again, Kathy Feinstein, licensed mental health counselor, the host of a Parenting Peak Performers, and the challenges. One of the challenges I found over the years when I asked you, Kathy, was that parents and coaches understanding, we're not talking about what's wrong with you. We're talking about mental training. You know, one of the contributors to my book, Rob Andrews from the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, with his wall of gold medals, because he would work with the girls' gymnastic gold medalists, and the whole mental training idea that this is for a step up. I mean, that's really what you're specializing in, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's two ways to go about it. I go out into the field oftentimes and teach mental skills, particularly to teams or to groups. I had actually a group of Girl Scouts recently that were all different kinds of athletes, and we worked on visualization skills. And then when the kids come into the office, it's typically when there's some kind of a barrier to the performance. And so we dig a little deeper and give them skills that they can use to enhance their performance. But also,
yeah, hold that thought, Kath.
Yes.
Hold that thought about what you're doing, because we're going to be coming back with Kathy Feinstein, Dr. Bob Weil. It's The Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505. Or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, back live from Chicago. It's Hall of Famer from the National Fitness Hall of Fame, pardon my excitement, it was Sunday night, Dr. Bob Weil. We're following up Kathy Feinstein, licensed mental health counselor, and she's the host, Parenting Peak Performers. And we were talking about, Kathy, what you're doing in outreach and into the community. Tell us more about that.
So I take, there's two ways that I go about with mental skills and with sport performance consulting. One is I go out into the community and teach mental skills to teams, to groups of kids. I was saying I had a group of Girl Scouts recently that were all individual athletes in different sports, but we, you know, did a whole workshop on visualization. It was awesome. They were terrific. And then when the kids come into the office, it's oftentimes because there's some kind of a barrier to performance. And usually it's about focus, you know, so what we focus on grows. And if they're focused on this internal chatter, this negative self-talk, or anything that would create anxiety, the what ifs, then, you know, we really help to train the focus. And then at the same time, dig a little bit deeper to identify some of the underlying beliefs that might be driving that negative self-talk. And so, you know, kind of taking a two-pronged approach. So doing the work out in the community, teaching mental skills to teams, and then in the office one-on-one, addressing specific barriers to performance for the kids and for adults.
Yes, and I think, again, you know, the coaches and the communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our good friends, frequent guest, I think he's on next week, Ian Goldberg, iSport 360. The whole thing is about the communication between coaches and parents, which we all know sometimes is very, very lacking, and there's a problem and no one talks about it. And it ends up usually with the a young boy or girl paying for it because it's a hassle in some way. And now there's a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports. I'm in that world forever, in the world of figure skating, where, you know, we could tell them all day, we want you to play multiple sports, mm-hmm. use all parts of your body. That's great, Dr. Weil, but my daughter is 12 years old, and she skates 9 days a week, and this is all she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. So in many instances, again, in the prodigy sports, think of gymnastics, think of even soccer and tennis today. We have these young kids. And so if we have a talented son or daughter who really wants to be the best they can be, then they don't need anything wrong to come up with a game plan, pardon the pun, with somebody like you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking peak performers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, again, really helping them to train their focus and to be, you know, in the moment. I do a lot of mindfulness training in the work that I do with adults and with kids. And interestingly enough,
well, that's
shows...
a big word, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm a sports doctor over the years, within the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
With all the different experts in so many different areas, more and more and more and more, we've heard that very, very important word, mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, again, 10 years ago, most people in medicine didn't know how to spell it. Like 20 years ago, they didn't know how to spell wellness, you know,
right,
exactly. In that regard. So the attention and awareness on mindfulness, how do you, is mindfulness being in the moment?
Yes, it is. It's a, well, mindfulness is really paying a specific attention to using one of your five senses. So one of the first things that I teach every athlete that walks through my door is a focused breathing exercise where the athlete, I ask them to actually take a nice deep inhale through your nostrils and focus on that sensation that you feel at the tip of your nostrils. There's like a cool sensation, and on the exhale, there's a warm sensation. And so, you know, have them focus on that. Now, what happens as you begin to do that, your mind wanders. We call it monkey mind. Your mind will jump all over the place. And so that's just what it does. And so having them pay attention, just noticing, right, and not judging, just noticing that their mind has, you know, they've lost their focus, and then bringing their focus back to the breath. And that is actually building that focus muscle when they lose the focus and, you know, start thinking about whatever jumps into their mind, and then bringing that focus back to the breath. And that is a way to train the focus so that when they are getting ready to compete and they're like, what if I miss? What if I, you know, mess up? You know, you just notice that thought and then bring yourself back into the moment by taking that breath and or using any one of your five senses to kind of bring you back into the moment. So it's a key.
So the kinds of programs, yeah, the kinds of programs, you know, where you have, again, you have these serious high school athletes, they're already scheduled up to their eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, you know, Kathy, can you get me a home program? What type of time, you know, are you looking for my son or daughter to spend 10, 15 minutes a day visualizing? Are you looking for them to pay attention? Again, my late friend Jim Vickery would say you could train these systems, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, again, these families or coaches would ask you, what kind of time or home program, just kind of in general, do you have some of your athletes paying attention to?
I ask them to commit to 5 minutes a day for that breathing exercise to start. The research shows that people that do that for 20 minutes a day, it changes the structure of your brain. And, you know, that's very powerful. And so I try to motivate, particularly my adult clients, to commit to more working up to 20 minutes a day because that's where the magic happens. But even just the 5 minutes, you know, I think is, and making it a routine because routines are, you know, so valuable to performance as well. So 5 minutes for the breathing exercise.
Yeah, when John McEnroe, I hate the idea. And of course, the goal is that for that young athlete to be able to have the skill to call on that when they need it.
Exactly.
You know, a la the performance anxiety, which is, you know, freezing up or choking. Mm-hmm. We've all heard those kinds of words, and it's all part of athletics.
Absolutely.
But being able to call on the 5 minutes a day, even 20 minutes a day, you know, it makes so much sense. And I think that, you know, the attention of the positive side of this mental approach in parenting the peak performers, and then, you know, you have the best chance to try to stay out of the only two things anybody cares about, which is, number one, can you prevent problems and injuries? And by the way, number two, can you enhance performance? And that's the mental side of what you and I are teaming up to talk about this right now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, the parents and the families, it becomes a definitely a part of the equation. We've all read and known about, you know, the Little League parent or the fact that why do so many kids quit? Or if we're talking about, you know, trying to get these kids to remain active, what's the percentage? Hopefully we don't run out of time. What's the percentage of high school kids who get a scholarship, roughly?
I think it's less than 1%.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, you know, you're in a pressure cooker when mm-hmm. you're dealing with, you know, these kinds of sides, kinds of things. And that's why, you know, of course, I'm telling you is as you're talking to these families, parents, and coaches, you say, hey, Dr. Bob said, are you in the right shoe for your particular foot type? You know, is your
Dr.
kid
Bob.
Fit properly?
That's why I always talk to parents and tell them to parent with the end in mind, you know, and be really thinking about what you want your child to get from sports beyond the scholarship and, you know, to really try to align your behaviors with really what you want your kids to get as a result of being.
Yes, whose goal is it, Kathy? Mm-hmm. Is it that, you know, hotshot kid who's on three traveling teams and is doing quite well, or the mother or father? Again, most of the time, I like you would say, it's such a positive experience with youth sports and their families. But before we run out of time, give us again the website that people could find all about your you and your Parenting Peak Performers podcast.
Absolutely. It's www.kafcounselingandsportperformance.com. And there's
great.
A whole page for my podcast there.
Absolutely. And she's a great host. Kathy Feinstein, thanks so much. Hold on quickly, everybody. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Hold on. everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. BBSRadio.com, the Sports Doctor. And welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment, where we give a little bit of preview of some of the upcoming guests. We answer some emails. Next week, patient of mine, Tim Dreyer. Tim has been a high school and college basketball referee for like four decades. Guy's got some great stories. Talk about parents and coaches and whatever. He'll be joining me. And then Ian Goldberg, friend of the family, but Ian is the creator of the iSport 360 app, their whole website information for parents and coaches. Terrific vehicle to enhance communication of parents and coaches, iSport 360. Following week, the host of the TV, longest running motorcycle TV show, Born to Ride, Ron Galletti. I'm going to talk about some of the physical challenges of riding motorcycles forever. And that's going to be an interesting show. Colin Longsworth, he BioPulse. Colin's had some experience with CBD and athletes in sports. I'd be very interested. CBD is a big deal. The non-get-high side of medical marijuana. Some great guests coming up. Let's see. Where's the emails here? Tom. My 11-year-old son, avid soccer player, it's his third season. He's been diagnosed with Sievers syndrome with his heel. You know, Tom, the heels are susceptible to stress because of the fact that they are large growth centers in the back and bottom of the heel of children. And any kind of pounding can aggravate that growth center. When you add all the running of soccer and then you throw in cleats with the cleats right under that heel growth center, you got trouble if it's persistent. And that's one of the major keys. I've been putting orthotics in young children like your son's sports shoes for decades because of persistent Sievers or inflammation of the growth center with great, great, great success. Initially, though, many times we're looking at some intelligent rest. Is your son in the right shoe? Get them out of cleats. Get them into a multi-nub, multi-surface shoe. There's a lot of them. And then, again, if you're dealing with something persistent, see podiatry. Orthotics can be magic. Why? They properly position the heel, which many times can be susceptible to extra stress, which keeps the irritated area susceptible. Commonly is the pronated or flat-type foot, which might be much more susceptible to this, and absolutely the high arch foot, where we might be hitting that heel aggressively. Pay attention. Jerry says, my mom's a diabetic. Should she see podiatry routinely? Yes, Jerry, she should. Anybody who's got diabetes, especially as they get older, even routinely should have supervision of the podiatry or foot doctor, paying attention to toenails, paying attention to whether there's any changes in how the foot is feeling. Some of the earliest signs of diabetes, numbness, burning, areas that don't heal as well, are seen by podiatry initially because the feet, you know, we walk on them all day, they're the furthest area from the heart. So even if your mama has no trouble, I don't care if she sees a podiatrist once, twice a year. I've been cutting diabetics' toenails, seniors, Medicare patients' toenails every couple of months for years in order to keep them out of trouble. You want that kind of supervision, ideally. Diabetes is a nightmare in the United States, and podiatry has become flooded over the decades with wounds and wound care and paying so much attention. There's still so many amputations that start with some sort of diabetic problem. So pay attention. Steve says, talk about over-the-counter arch supports. You know, Steve, over-the-counter arch supports are generic supports, some more sophisticated than others, that can be very helpful. So if you said to me, what should I do tomorrow? Sometimes we'll see getting that insert from the running shoe store or picking up a Dr. Scholl's support from Walgreens can be very helpful. Whether I like consistently the kiosk where we're spending even more money, over-the-counter is for the most part generic. I'll give you an analogy. You know, Dr. Weil, we need glasses. Let's go to Walgreens and see if the can be helpful. The kind of orthotics we're talking about, custom orthotics, are all about positioning of the feet and ankle and lower extremity. They're all about optimum alignment, whether it's to redistribute weight, maybe again, away from a painful area, or one of my subspecialties is making a big deal in the positioning of the foot in that figure skate to make a huge difference in balance, performance. So over the counter, here's a good generality. If we're dealing with trouble, You know, my ankles are a problem. My daughter's ankles are a problem. You know, her knees bother her. You know, boy, my back's been bothering me forever. Then ironically, the reality of the Dr. Scholl's commercial on TV, looking at orthotics is almost always helpful. And again, getting the podiatry input. Podiatry really is the expertise in orthotics, and that's the best road to take. After that, I'd say sometimes physical therapy. But for the most part, it's podiatry. That's what's custom, like your bifocals. And again, even at the top of sports, when we're looking to stay out of trouble. So over-the-counter devices absolutely can be very, very helpful. And many times that's what we might use immediately to try something tomorrow that might be helpful for that plantar fasciitis or that runner's knee or the shin splints. You know, Denise asks, what about the Prodigy Sports? Prodigy Sports is a chapter in my book, Hashtag Sports Parents. And I've been using figure skating as a great example. You know, my poster boy, 2010 men's gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when we put orthotics in his skates. 13 years later, he was the best in the world. Last week, I casted a 10-year-old while I was telling her this story for orthotics in her skates. And these are kids, this is all they want to do. They don't want to play other sports. The young gymnast, the soccer player, the tennis player. Although I continually recommend, like almost all physical therapists and other doctors, to recommend, you're better off. It's more prevention of problems if your son or daughter plays multiple sports. Now, if we're talking 15, 16 years old, time to maybe specialize. If we're talking 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, let's try to play multiple sports. But if it is a prodigy, then we want them to see physical therapy, Denise, or personal training, to let's come up with a real good program your son or daughter could do at home to try to do the best we can. Repetitive motion injuries is the culprit when we're specializing, using, you know, throwing the same arm all the time, using the same areas of the body all the time. And my famous mentor, Bob Guido, would always say, train the opposites, strengthen the breaks, swinging a tennis racket 1,000 times a week, work the areas that stabilize are those areas. And that's a big, big message regarding these so-called prodigy sports. Jordan says, with my son, I think he's had 3 or 4, how worried should I be about persistent ankle sprains? I would be quite concerned, Jordan. We could run into big trouble. Ankle is a complicated joint. It's a lot of times undertreated. So what you want to do is pay big attention to seeing orthopedic surgery, podiatry. What is it about that foot ankle that's susceptible to persistent strains? Sometimes it's weakness. Other times it's laxity, looseness of the area. Orthotics can really, really help and often are ignored because of the fact that maybe the feet themselves don't hurt. But this is, we pay big attention to foot mechanics and strengthening routinely. Once there are surgical problems because of the persistent turning and straining of the ankle, I've had expertise on as a piece of equipment called active ankle. You go back and the sports doctor send me a message. This piece of equipment that goes on top of the shoe doesn't limit any kind of motion and virtually stops the ability to return that ankle. It's quite unique. Ankle guard is the name of that piece. And the sometimes routine use of ankle braces, sometimes the routine taping of the ankle. But if we're dealing with a boy or girl, we've had quote-unquote persistent or they're susceptible, then we want to pay very big attention. We can be plagued by ankle problems forever because of the consequence of taking it lightly. No ankle sprain should not be evaluated properly and rehabbed. And this is something that physical therapy today is paying much, much, much more attention to, and sports performance is paying much, much more attention to. You know, again, it's one of the chapters in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is called the two essential exercise concepts we should really, really follow. I don't care how old your son or daughter is, what their sport is, what their level is. And those two exercises are rubber band strengthening of the feet and ankles routinely. Simple, inexpensive. You got to learn how to do it properly, and balance work. For decades, I would watch Bob Guida and his associates put everybody, whether you were the best athlete in the world or their grandmother, on the mini tram and tilt boards, safe, very dynamic exercises, whether, again, we were trying to prevent falling in senior citizens or we were dealing with a 13-year-old who was a high-performance figure skater. Two essential exercises. Great show today. Two dynamite ladies, Kathy Feinstein, Sally Sampson. Thanks, everybody. Catch you next week on The Sports Doctor.